It's time to get our Thursday view from the north. You, well, maybe not you, but you for sure, can find this work for Comcast Sportsnet. Visit CSNNW.com, talking ball with the Comcast gang on channel 737 in high def. Follow on Twitter. Get his professional and personal reaction to a variety of issues. Use the handle at Aaron J. Fentress. Mr. Fentress, always appreciate your time, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Awesome. Loving it. As always, they still pay me to do this, which, as you well know, is completely ridiculous. let's start with the announcement. So the Trailblazers have renewed their TV deal with Comcast. It's a four-year deal, so it's not a max out. But personally, I'd imagine this is kind of nice for all of you to keep that connection to the most substantial program, team, or franchise in your city.
Well, yeah, I mean, CSN Northwest wouldn't exist without the Blazers TV, right? So that was a big deal for the existence of the entity, so to speak. I would say for the most part, most people felt pretty good that it was going to happen eventually, that we wouldn't be outbid by anybody. But there was a distribution issue involved, and, talk of Root, because Root's on Comcast Cable and DirecTV. But I think, as we've sort of stated, the higher-ups, that, getting all 82 games now in this deal will allow CSN to go to DirecTV and say, okay, now we have all 82, not just 62. Let's make a deal. Because six of the eight regional sports networks that Comcast has are on DirecTV.
Right.
It's only Philadelphia, which is a heavy, heavy Comcast cable area, and then here. So it's like, they've been able to work out six of the eight, and I don't think there's great demand in Philadelphia because it's so heavy saturated with Comcast cable. So this is really the outlier, and I think, and we've maintained that the main reason is because we were sharing 20 games with KGW, and now they have all 82. If they can get that worked out and get CSN on DirecTV, then everything's good. But I understand why fans with DirecTV would be frustrated. But there's also the new streaming option, which people can use. I know some people have complained about that. Why should I pay $35 a month to watch the Blazers? Well, why does anyone pay anything to watch anything? Why do people who like? Well, I'm serious. I mean, like, I'm a person who, in my life I've had either one of the three or two of the three, or sometimes all three MLB, NBA, and NFL packages.
Right.
I pay for those to watch my team. Like, I'm paying for the baseball package right now so I can watch the Cubs, and that's what you do. It's not ideal. I mean, you would like, if you're in market, to get it for whatever your cost of your cable system, but sometimes it doesn't work out that way. But I do think that deal will get done. I think that will be gone eventually, hopefully. And the deal's shortened because Blazers are basically saying, get that done. Make that happen.
No, it's interesting. We hear frustrations, but I always, when the caller hangs up, I'm like, yeah, I'm spoiled. I have Comcast. I have everything. I'm good. So we were talking yesterday about Portland and free agency. And we've come up with the conclusion, in history, they've peaked with Kenny Anderson or Jimmy Jackson. But when you think about the...
I forgot about Jimmy Jackson. Oh, my God.
We forgot until yesterday. Somebody said, if you go by the numbers, they've never signed a free agent coming off an all-star season. So, it kind of cracks us up, because you were the first one that brought up on this show, people who are like, well, we don't want Dwight Howard. And it's like, So is this like the ultimate reality check for this franchise and its fans, that top flight players just don't see Portland as a destination?
Yeah, in a way. I mean, it's also a tough summer because almost everyone had cap space.
Right.
You know what I mean? And if you look at the guys the Blazers would have really, really wanted, you're looking at Whiteside and Howard maybe. Howard went to Atlanta, where he's from, and Whiteside went back to Miami. So I don't look at those as like failures. Now, you could say the Parsons thing was kind of a failure because they lost out to Memphis. It's not like Memphis is a raging metropolis. But one, I would say, who would ever utter the phrase, we lost out on Chandler Parsons? Like, I don't understand. And then to say that, oh, and paying him, was it $90 or $95 million? Yeah, I mean, it's like, I don't know if you really can count that as a failure. Plus, Memphis, when healthy, is better than Portland. They were last year until everyone started falling like flies. But we have Conley and Gasol and they add Parsons to that mix, I would think that they might have a better record. So I don't know if they lost out there. So if you look at it like that, if you're objective about it, I don't feel like it was that detrimental of a summer. I think if it's a summer where you have cap space and someone else takes less money to go somewhere else and not come to you, and you have a good team, then that's going to be the real trick. So, you know, in a way, it's a reality check, but it's not as bad as you might think it is. Because I think if you had, like, I never believed Whiteside would come. The only reason why I thought Howard might is because there were reports that Portland was on his list.
Right.
That's it. Otherwise, I would never even think that guy knew where Portland was. That's why, to me, if he said, oh, I want to go to Portland, you don't go, nah, we don't want you. You're over the hill. Like, what? What are you talking about? You're never going to get anyone better than that guy to come here. So, you know, that being said, Evan Turner, if you just ignore the money, just ignore the $70 million for Evan Turner, because it's just weird looking because of the new salary cap. So everyone's salary is just completely ridiculous. I mean, Mike Conley got $30 million a year. Are you kidding me? But you just have to ignore it. He's a nice little piece. He's a sort of a poor man's Paul Pierce, minus a three-point shooting ability. He's got some size. He plays good defense. He can score. He can make plays athletically. He does rebound a little bit. So it's a nice piece to get. And his last thing I'll say about this, what they have done, if they retain, especially if they retain all, most of their free, their restricted, and they get Festus Cecily, is that they're going to be 10 deep at least.
Right.
And then what you do is you wait. You wait for that all-star break trade deadline. You wait for that summer when someone's trying to get rid of a star contract because they're ready to tank and get high draft picks. And then you pounce. And then you have actual assets to give up. It may be we'll give you Vonleh, Crabbe, and something else for Carmelo Anthony. I'm just throwing out there. Let's say the Knicks in 2 years are sick of Carmelo and they want to move him. Or maybe Kevin Love becomes available in Cleveland. They're like, Kevin Love still hasn't improved. If I can get Crabbe and Myers Leonard to add depth and get rid of Love, if I'm Cleveland, I might do that. And then all of a sudden, boom, you got Kevin Love. And then you have the depth to build around that guy with McCollum and Lillard. And now, boom, you've got a really good team. So that's the one good thing to say about this offseason is they have added to their depth.
Well, based on what you just said about Carmelo, with all the Knicks added, I guess you're not planning on them going to the finals like I am this year.
Oh, are you being sucked in?
Of course. Actually, my producer is trying to convince me. I'm like, they're the Knicks. I know how this ends.
I'll tell you what. If Noah plays like he did 3 years ago, and Rose plays like he did 4 years ago, the Knicks are going to the finals. That's all you need.
Yep, I live for 2011 and 12 as well. We're talking with Aaron Fentress of Comcast Sportsnet. So, if you know your world history, we've had atrocities committed by Attila the Hun. We dropped atomic bombs during World War II. Does any of this compare to the heinous crime committed by Kevin Durant leaving Oklahoma City to sign with the Warriors?
Oh, man. I wouldn't quite go that far, but that's a good one.
You sure? I read what you said on Twitter.
Oh, I had fun with it on Twitter.
I know you did.
I did have fun with it on Twitter.
Realistically, now that we've had time to breathe, what do you make of all this?
Oh, I still think it's cheesy as heck. I mean, he jumped the bandwagon. He basically, as far as I'm concerned, he basically announced, I can't beat them. I don't think I can beat them. So I'm going to run to them and say, Steph Curry, you're my daddy. Get me a championship. That's how I view it.
You're my daddy.
And nice. I think if you look, I mean, okay, let's say Marcus Mariota lost 2 years in a row to Stanford to end his national championship hopes, right?
Right.
And let's say he decided, I'm going to transfer to Stanford because I think he gives me the best chance to win the Pac-12 and go to the national playoffs. What would Oregon fans do?
Jump off the Ferry Street Bridge?
No, they'd throw him off the Ferry Street Bridge.
You sure?
If you look at it in that context, because, the top three teams in the NBA are the Thunder, the Cavs, and the Warriors. You left, you're a top three player, you left a top three team to go to another top three team that already has three All-NBA players, won a championship 2 years ago, a two-time MVP, and had the best record, regular season record of all time. And you had them beaten. You had them beaten up 3-1, and games 5 and 6, you combined, I think it was 21-62 and 4-19 from three. So you contributed heavily to your team choking that 3-1 lead, and now you decide to abandon your team, which is still good enough to win it, to go to the team that just beat you to basically say, I'm going to piggyback you guys. You guys don't need me, but with me, I have a better chance of winning. To me, that's just Oh, it leaves a bad taste in my mouth. If I were a Thunder fan, I would be burning all sorts of things with number 35 on it. I won't lie. I won't lie. I'd be sponsoring bonfires in my cul-de-sac. I'd be like, bonfire finishes his house, but I just think it's just kind of lame.
But would you partially burn it for when he comes back next year?
I burn it with a chance for repair.
All right. All right, let's address your true elephant in the room. The Bulls decided to get younger and more athletic, and then today they signed Dwayne Wade to a 2-year deal for more dough than he was earning at his age. To me, I was like, there seem like a lot of red flags here. What was your reaction?
I'm still processing it. Because I remember in 2010 when they had two meetings with Wade, and they actually had a chance to get him, but everyone kind of knew LeBron and Bosh would go to Miami, blah, blah, blah. But, like, there was somewhat of a glimmer of hope. That would have been huge. So now here we are 6 years later. He's missed, like, 100 games since. He's 34. If you look at the history of 34-year-old two guards, it's not very pretty. I mean, I went back and looked. Of course, Kobe got the injuries that fell apart. Allen Iverson was pretty much out of the league by the time he was 35. Vince Carter, you can look at them at age 33 on down. Oh, my God, his stats just plummeted. Jerry West retired at 34. If you go back through history, Ray Allen started to fall apart about 34. I mean, it's not a good age for two guards, especially a guy who's been to, six NBA finals. He's won three. He's had major injury problems. Last year he was relatively healthy, but still, he's 34, man. You're giving him almost $50 million. I almost look at it like he's good. He and Rondo are good enough to keep the Bulls from tanking completely and getting a top five pick, which to me is what you want to do. I'd rather them tank, get a top 5-7 pick, and then go back next year, because next year they're gonna have they would have 50-something million in cap space.
Wow!
But now they do have the option on Rondo, so they can let Rondo go after 1 year. The way they're committed to for two or maintenance an option for a third, so that's going to be $24 million eating up to Wade. But they still can go get one more marquee free agent. So next year they could conceivably bring in Blake Griffin. Now you got Wade, Blake Griffin, and Butler. But then how long are you going to have Wade for? You're going to have Wade for it. He's going to just continue to decline. So I just think what happened was they got rid of Rose. They got a lot of backlash. They looked at the roster and thought, oh my God, we're going 25 games. We have a sold out arena. We don't want to do that. Hey, let's go get Rondo. Ooh, now we can get Wade. Now we're going to be a 45 win team and maybe make the playoffs. Yay. I just don't get it. I can't get overexcited about it because never in history have we seen a 35-year-old two guard really be that great, other than the man, the myth, the legend, who at about 34, 35 was in his last few years with the Bulls.
Yeah, the rule is like a running back after 30. They could be productive, but once they dip, they never get it back.
That's the problem. And I see, if they play Wade 30 minutes a night and keep him fresh for the last 5 minutes of games, I think he can have an impact. But I feel like in the next 2 years, he's going to miss, I would say the over-under would be, I'd set it at 35 games he misses.
Gotcha. So he's going to play you 64, 65 games. All right.
I just got smart money's on that.
All right. Final thought. I saw your piece on the CSNNW site with Bree Amaranthus talking about Duck football recruiting. And I know it's borderline nuts we're having this conversation in July. But if you hit rewind and pretty much examine what happened last month, what do you see as the progress that was made and maybe how this class of 2017 is shaping up?
Well, are they still at 8? I went on vacation and I haven't looked at rivals.
No, what you were saying with Bree all remains accurate.
Okay. So they had two there for a while, then they picked up a bunch of guys. But they picked up 4-star guys, and I think they're up to 8 right now, and half of them are 4-star kids. And they got a bunch of other 4-star kids on the hook. And I just feel like, there's a little bit of early panic. But, as I said back when people were panicking, you're not going to sign just two guys. So, it's not on signing day we're going to announce, Ducks signed two players. And, so you knew they're going to get some guys eventually. And a lot of guys they were targeting hadn't committed yet. So I feel like, they picked up some momentum and they've got some other guys who might be on the hook. They're definitely going to be better than last year's class. Last year's class had 5. For me, it's all about the 4-stars because every kid's going to be at least a 3-star. So how many 4s are you going to get? And last year they had 5, or this past year they only had 5, which left them at the 29th rank. They've already got 4. I see them getting 7 or 8 probably when they're done. And I think they're starting to get a little bit of benefit, too, this time around with with Yost and Hoke being around, they're going to help out as well. So I think things are heading in the right direction. They're going to end up with a decent class. But you know what? None of that matters. This coming fall and winter are going to be all about basketball.
Yeah, that's especially now. I already see these nut jobs on CBS and ESPN are doing next year's rankings and seeding for the tournament. I'm like, dude, it's not till March.
Where do they have Oregon?
Jerry Palm has Oregon as a 2 seed playing Weber State in the first round.
2 seed?
Yeah.
The Ducks might go undefeated.
Okay. That's a bold one. I'm making sure my producer's got that one recorded.
All right.
Awesome. CSNNW.com at Aaron J. Fentress on Twitter. Always appreciate the time. Good stuff, AF. You have a good one.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Take it easy. All right. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline.
Write that down, Mick. Write it down.
It's on a sticky note. It's official.
Write it down. Take a picture of it. Put it on Twitter.
Move over. Quinn Buckner and the 1976 Indiana Hoosiers.
Wow.
We got a new one coming at you, going strong.